If somebody cooked in the same pot, in one utensil, he cooked both korban meat and regular meat, which is not holy. Or he cooked in the same pot meat of high-level korbanos together with meat of lower-level korbanos, which have they're governed by different laws. There are different limits on how long one can eat kochi kochim and kochim kalim, and where he can eat them, who can eat them. So in both of these two cases, more holy meat was cooked together with less holy meat. If there is enough of the more holy meat, which is governed by more stringent laws, if there is enough of that in the mixture to give off its taste to the less holy meat, whose laws are less stringent, if there's enough of the mixture that it will absorb the taste of the more holy meat, then the more lenient meat is now guided by the laws and needs to be eaten according to the laws of the more stringent meat. For example, in the case where the chulin, the regular meat, is mixed with carbon meat, then the entire mixture would now have the same deadline as the carbon meat does. And if the carbon meat is from kochi kochim, the high-level carbonos, then only a male kohen can eat it within the Beis HaMikdosh. And all of the laws which apply to the more stringent meat would apply to the entire mixture. Now, although the next line in the Mishnah reads Ve'enon Tonim Riko Shtifa, the Gemara actually adds in a whole nother line or two to the Mishnah, and the Mishnah should say now Utunim Riko Shtifa. This pot, this utensil, requires Mariko Shtifa, requires a rinsing in boiling hot water in Hagola, like we've seen throughout this perek. What exactly the process of Marika and Shtifa is? To remove any remaining part of the korbanos which have been absorbed by the pot. The Mishnah is going according to the opinion that the entire requirement of Mariko and Shtifa only applies to kochi kochim, korbanos of high level of holiness. And the Mishnah is telling us that in this case where you have a mixture of kochi kochim and kochim kalim, if the entire mixture gains the taste at least of the high level korbanos, then this requirement of Mariko and Shtifa would apply to the entire pot, because the whole mixture now has the status of the kochi kochim of the high level korbanos. And the Mishnah adds, according to the line which the Gemara is adding, Upoislim b'maga, and it invalidates by touch. This is referring to a law which is learnt from Psukim regarding the korban chatos. Although the same applies to other korbanos, that if one of these korbanos touches another food item, and that food item absorbs part of the substance of the korban. So whatever laws apply to the korban, that status is given to the new food item which touched it as well. And this is from the mere fact that it absorbed any of the korban itself. So if, for example, the korban was invalid and it needed to be burnt, then the other food item would also become invalid and need to be burnt together with that korban. This Mishnah is teaching us that in the case which we have under discussion now, Mishnah, where we have a mixture of a korban and a regular piece of meat or different levels of korbanos, the entire mixture gains the status of the more stringent food item, such that if a different food item now touches any part of that mixture, even though the vast majority of the mixture might not be the more stringent type of meat, nevertheless, if it touches another food item, then that other food item will become invalid. If any part of the mixture is invalid, or it will gain the status of the most stringent part of the mixture. Now, what happens if ein bohem ribenosin tam? This is all part of the line which the Gemara adds. Ein bohem ribenosin tam. If the amount of more stringent meat in the mixture was not enough to give off a taste to the rest of the mixture, and the way we judge that is usually the amount is a 60th. So if less than a 60th of the mixture is the more stringent meat, then we assume that no taste was given off to the rest of the mixture. And in such a case, ein hakalim ne'echolim kachamurim, the more lenient meat does not need to be eaten according to the laws of the more stringent meat. And now we're back to what is actually written in the Mishnah. Ve'einon tzorim riko shtifa. The pot used to cook it does not require riko shtifa, it does not require hagola, rinsing it with boiling hot water, because this Mishnah is going according to the opinion that the only thing which requires Mariko Shtifa is a pot in which kochi kochim were cooked. The high level korbanos, alright? Ze'en pesim b'maga. And the mixture would not invalidate other food items which touch it. Meaning in a case where the invalid part of the mixture was less than a 60th, then this mixture would not invalidate something which touches it. Now in the case which we've been discussing in the Mishnah, there was a real mixture of meat cooked together, So it's all one big mixture. What happens if rokik shenogah b'rokik, one of the thin loaves of bread which were brought with certain korbanos, if that touched another type of thin loaf of bread, a flat loaf of bread, and one of these flat loaves was valid and one wasn't, v'chaticha b'chaticha, or if a piece of valid meat touches another piece of invalid meat. So here they weren't literally cooked together. Not every one of the flat loaves or of the pieces of meat in the mixture are going to be forbidden. Only the part of the mixture which absorbed from the invalid part of the mixture, only that part would be forbidden. But any part which you know didn't touch the invalid piece of meat or the invalid loaf of bread would remain fully valid. The discussion of this perek is who merits to receive different parts of the korbanos, particularly the kohanim. And in general, the kohanim who are working in the Beis HaMikdash for that week, the kohanim would have a rotation, and they would work in the Beis HaMikdash for a week at a time, so whichever kohanim were working in the Beis HaMikdash during that week, they are the ones who would receive the share in that week's korbanos. The Mishnah starts off by telling us which kohanim do not, however, receive a share in the korbanos, or the various parts of the korbanos which they would receive. Tevul Yoim, a kohen who was tomei, and he therefore went to the mikveh in order to purify himself, but until night begins, he still remains tomei to a certain degree, and it's forbidden for him to eat korbanos or to eat truma, to eat any holy foods until nighttime. Mechusa Kippurim, this refers to somebody who was tomei as well, but part of his process to become pure once more is that the day after he goes to the mikveh, it's not enough for him to wait until the night. The next day, he's obligated to bring korbanos, and only once he has brought the korbanos is he considered to be fully purified. Until he's brought the korbanos, he's considered to be a mechusar kippurim. He still lacks an atonement via the korbanos. These two people, elon cholkim bakodshim, leechol bo'erev, they do not take a share in the korbanos to eat it in the evening. Meaning, the kohanim would receive the share of the korbanos to eat it at night. But those korbanos were offered up during that previous day. So since at that daytime, he was in a state where he was not able to eat korbanos, even if at nighttime, by the time the korbanos is actually eaten, he is able to eat korbanos, it's learned from Pesukim that he would not receive a share, since at the time the korban was offered up, he was not fit. It should be noted that these kohanim are permitted to eat the meat, they just don't receive a share in it. If a different kohen wants to give them part of their meat, then they are allowed to eat it, as they just don't receive a share amongst the other kohanim. Continues the Mishnah, Oinein, a person whose relative, one of their closest relatives, has died that day. They are not able to eat korbanos until nighttime, at least on a midoraisa level, midrabon perhaps for even longer. Nogea, he is able to touch the meat of korbanos, meaning if he touches it, he will not invalidate it. Certain people, like someone who is tomei, who touches a piece of korban meat, would obviously invalidate it. And in certain respects, an oinein is similar to somebody who is tomei. But the Mishnah says regarding this, he is not, and therefore he would not invalidate the korban by touching it. Veinu makriv, and he is not able to bring korbanos himself if he is a kohen. He cannot perform the service of bringing a korban. Veinu cholik leechol b'erev, and he does also not take a share to eat the korban that evening. Since, once again, at the time that the korban was offered up, he was not fit to eat korbanos. Next example, Balei Mumin, a kohen who has a certain wound which invalidates him from performing the service of the Beis HaMikdash. Bein Balei Mumin Kavuim, Bein Balei Mumin Oivrin. Whether it be a permanent wound and blemish or a temporary one, since when, as long as he has it, he is not valid to perform the service, Cholkin v'oichlin, he nevertheless does take a share and eat the korbanos in the evening, Avalim Akriven, but he's not able to perform the service. That's the only thing which he cannot do. This is learned from something which is almost explicit in the Torah, that although a Baal Mum, a kohen who has a blemish of some sort, is not able to perform the service of the korban, he is nevertheless able to eat the korban and he receives a share. The Mishnah now says a rule, V'chol she'einu ro'i la'avoida, einu cholik b'basar. Anybody who is not fit to perform the service of the korban does not take a portion with the rest of the kohanim in the meat of the korbanos to eat that night. The exception to this rule was, of course, mentioned the line before, and that is a kohen who has a wound. Adds the Mishnah, V'chol she'einu b'basar, any kohen who does not have the right to the meat of the korban, einu b'oros, does also not have any right to the hides of the korbanos, which in many scenarios are given to the Kohanim. And the Mishnah elaborates, and we basically saw examples of this already. Even if he was only Tomei at the time of the throwing of the blood of the Korban, meaning when the Korban was offered up, he was Tomei and therefore not fit to eat Korbanos, and also not fit to perform the service of bringing the Korban. But that day he became Tahar, and B'shas Hek D'Chalovim, at the time of the burning of the fats, that's the continuation of the procedure of the Korban, at that night, when the fats are being burnt on the Mizbeach, the Kohen is already pure. Nevertheless, in Echad B'Abosor, he does not take a share in the meat. Shenem, as the Pasuk says, Hamakir Estam HaShalom Ves HaChilev Ibn Aaron, the one who offers up the blood of the Korban Shalomim, and the fat amongst the children of Aaron, meaning the Kohanim, Loi Siye Shoik Hayom Lemono, to him, he will receive the right thigh as a portion. Now, the Pasuk is not coming to tell us that only the particular Kohen who offered up that Korban will receive the meat of that Korban, rather it's shared amongst all of the Kohanim. The Pasuk means that only somebody who is fit to offer out the Korban is going to receive a share amongst the rest of the Kohanim. Mishnah base, Kol Shelo Zocha Mizbeach B'Vsara, any Korban Oila, where the Mizbeach did not merit to receive its meat. And what this means is that the Korban was never fit to be burnt on the Mizbeach. The Korban was invalid even before the blood of the Korban was thrown onto the Mizbeach. So it never reached a stage where the meat was even supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach, because it was invalidated before the blood was thrown onto the Mizbeach. In that case, the Kohanim do not merit, and they do not receive a portion in the hide of the Korban either. Shenemar, because the Pasuk says that what hide of an animal do the Kohanim receive? Shenemar Olas Ish. The Korban Oila of a man, the Korban Oila of a person, goes to the meat goes on the Mizbeach, obviously, and the Torah says that the hides are given to the Kohanim. But the Pasuk is talking about a Korban Oila of a person, which means a Oila Sha'olsala Ish. A Korban Oila which was brought and sort of it worked for a person. But if the Korban was invalidated, then the Korban Oila never worked at all to fulfill the obligation of the person bringing it. Now the Mishnah adds, as long as the Korban was valid, even if the owner did not fulfill his obligation, in that case, since at the end of the day the Korban is valid, and if the meat was burnt on the Mizbeach, it's okay, even if the obligation of the Kohen wasn't fulfilled, nevertheless, the hides of the animal would still go to the Kohanim. It would not need to be burnt. Oila shenishchata shelo lishma, a Korban Oila which was slaughtered not for the sake of the Korban Oila. Afal pi shelo yosel habaylim, even though we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that it does not work to fulfill the obligation of the owner who is bringing that Korban, nevertheless, since the actual Korban is valid and it would not need to be burnt, Oila la Kohanim, therefore the hides of the Korban are received by the Kohanim. Echad Eilas HaIsh, Echad Eilas HaIsh, are saying the Kohanim. The Mishnah ends off, both the Korban Oila bought by a man and the Korban Oila bought by a woman, the hides of these Korbanos go to the Kohanim, as stated by the Torah. Mishnah Gimel, this Mishnah discusses the rules for where the hides of the Korbanos go. When exactly do the Kohanim receive the hides? Oros Kodshim Kalim, says the Mishnah, the skin, the hides of Korbanos in the group which have a lower level of holiness, Labailim, they are taken by the owners, the one who bought the Korban, he receives the hide. The Oros Kodshei Kodshim, whereas the hides of Korbanos which have a higher level of holiness, LaKohanim, they are received by the Kohanim. Although the Torah talks about a Korban Oila in regards to the hide going to the Kohanim, any Korban which is similar to a Korban Oila, meaning it has a higher level of holiness, it is part of the group of Korbanos called Kodshei Kodshim, their hides would go to the Kohanim. Now, how exactly do we know this? At the end of the day, the Torah only states this regarding a Korban Oila. Who said that it applies to all Kodshei Kodshim? Mishnah says, Kavul Chomer. We've got an argument of all the more so. Ma'im Oila shelo zachu b'vesara. If a Korban Oila, where the Kohanim don't receive any of the meat of the Korban Oila, because it's totally burnt on the Mizbeach, and nevertheless, zachu b'oira, they do receive the hides of the Korban Oila. So Kodshei Kodshim, the other Korbanos in that category of Kodshei Kodshim, Shezachu B'Vesaran, that Kohanim do merit to receive their meat, a part of the meat of all of the other Korbanos is eaten by the Kohanim. It's not totally burnt on the Mizbeach, so in addition to Yizkubu Ayran, is it not all the more so that they should receive the hides of the Korbanos, as well as the meat? And the Mishnah says, Ein Mizbeach Rechiach, the Mizbeach cannot prove against this. meaning I could have argued that that's not true. You see that the Mizbeach receives the meat of Karbanos, and yet it never receives the hide of the Mizbeach. We never burn the hide of the animal on the Mizbeach. So you see from there that just because someone or something receives the meat of the Karbanos, that does not automatically mean that all the more so he should receive the hides of the Karbanos. Because that's what we have by the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach receives the meat, but not the hides. The Mishnah says that's not a proof, she'ein or mikol makom, because the Mizbeach never receives the hides of the Mizbeach. So that just means that the hides are not fit to be burnt on the Mizbeach. But Koyanim, where there is a scenario where they receive the hides of the Karbanos, we see that they are fit to receive the hides. So now we have an argument of all them also, that if a Karban Oila, they don't get the meat, and yet they still get the hides. So in a case where they do get the meat, all them also, they should get the hides as well.